Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 15, The Transcendental Madness of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, page 18. Okay, so now he's... Lord Chaitanya's explaining. Lord Chaitanya continued, O trees, kindly tell us whether Balarama's younger brother, Krishna, welcomed your obeisances with loving glances as he passed this way, resting one hand on the shoulder of Srimati Radharani, holding a lotus flower in the other, and being followed by a swarm of bumblebees maddened by the fragrance of tulsi flowers. To stop the bumblebees from landing on the face of his beloved, he whisked them away with a lotus flower in his hand, and thus his mind was slightly diverted. Did he or did he not pay attention while you offered him obeisances? Kindly give evidence supporting your words. Separation from Krishna has made these servants very unhappy. Having lost consciousness, how can they answer us? Saying this, the gopis stepped onto the beach by the Jamuna River. There they saw Lord Krishna beneath the Kadamba tree, standing there with his flute to his lips. Krishna, who enchants millions upon millions of cupids, attracted the eyes and minds of all the world with his unlimited beauty. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the transcendental beauty of Krishna, he fell down on the ground, conscious. At that time, all the devotees headed by Sri Damodar Goswami joined him in the garden. Just as before, they all saw the symptoms of transcendental ecstatic love manifest in the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although externally he appeared bewildered, he was tasting transcendental bliss within. Once again, all the devotees brought Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu back to consciousness by a concerted effort. Then the Lord got up and began wandering here and there, looking all around. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Where has my Krishna gone? I saw him just now, and his beauty has captivated my eyes and mind. Why can't I again see Krishna holding his flute to his lips? My eyes were wandering in hopes of seeing him once more. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then recited the following verse, which was spoken by Srimati Radharani to her dear friend Vishakha. My dear friend, the luster of Krishna's body is more brilliant than that of a newly formed cloud, and his yellow dress is more attractive than newly arrived lightning. A peacock feather decorates his head, and on his neck hangs a lovely necklace of brilliant pearls. As he holds his charming flute to his lips, his face looks like as beautiful as the full autumn moon. By such beauty, Madan Mohan, the enchanter of Cupid, is increasing the desire of my eyes to see him. Footnote 11. This verse is found in the Govinda Lilamrita 8.4. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, Sri Krishna's complexion is as polished as powdered eye ointment. It surpasses the beauty of a newly formed cloud and is softer than a blue lotus flower. Indeed, his complexion is so pleasing that it attracts the eyes and minds of everyone, and it is so powerful that it defies all comparison. My dear friend, please tell me what I should do. Krishna is as attractive as a wonderful cloud, and my eyes are just like chataka birds, which are dying of thirst because they do not see such a cloud. Krishna's yellow garments look exactly like restless lightning in the sky, and the pearl necklace on his neck appears like a line of ducks flying below a cloud. Both the peacock feather on his head and his Vaijayanti garland, containing flowers of five colors, resemble rainbows. The luster of Krishna's body is as beautiful as the glow of a spotless full moon that has arisen, and the vibration of his flute sounds exactly like the sweet thundering of a newly formed cloud. When the peacocks in Vrindavan hear that vibration, they begin to dance. The cloud of Krishna's pastimes is drenching the 14 worlds with a shower of nectar. Unfortunately, when that cloud appeared, a whirlwind arose and it blew it away from me. Being unable to see the cloud, the Chataka bird of my eyes is almost dead from thirst. In a faltering voice, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again said, "Alas, go on reciting Raya Rama, or Rama Rai." Thus Ramananda Rai began to recite a verse. While listening to this verse, the Lord was sometimes very jubilant and sometimes overcome by lamentation. Afterwards, the Lord personally explained the verse. "Dear Krishna, by seeing your beautiful face decorated with tresses of hair, by seeing the beauty of your earrings falling on your cheeks, and by seeing the nectar of your lips, the beauty of your smiling glances, your two arms, which assure complete fearlessness, and your broad chest, whose beauty arouses conjugal attraction, we have simply surrendered ourselves to becoming your maidservants." Footnote 12. This verse, quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:29-39, was spoken by the gopis when they arrived before Krishna for the rasa dance. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "After conquering the moon and the lotus flower, Krishna wished to capture the doe-like gopis. Thus he spread the noose of his beautiful face, and within that noose he placed the bait of his sweet smile to misguide the gopis. The gopis fell prey to that trap and became Krishna's maidservants, giving up their homes, families, husbands, and prestige. My dear friend, Krishna acts just like a hunter. This hunter does not care for piety or impiety. He simply creates many devices to conquer the cores of the hearts of the doe-like gopis. The earrings dancing on Krishna's cheeks are shaped like sharks, and they shine very brightly. These dancing earrings attract the minds of all women. Over and above this, Krishna pierces the hearts of women with the arrows of his sweetly smiling glances. He is not at all afraid to kill women in this way. On Krishna's chest are the ornaments of the Sri Vatsa mark, indicating the residence of the goddess of fortune. His chest, which is as broad as a plunderer's, attracts thousands upon thousands of damsels of Braja, conquering their minds and breasts by force. Thus they all become maidservants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The two very beautiful arms of Krishna are just like long bolts. They also resemble the bodies of black snakes that enter the space between the two hill-like breasts of women and bite their hearts. The women then die from the burning poison." Srila Prabhupada. In other words, the gopis become very much agitated by lusty desire. They are burning due to the poisonous bite inflicted by the black snakes of Krishna's beautiful arms.
We see the description, the Krishna's face, smiling glances, everything described, and devotees in having different Thai bhavas describe the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that evokes different anubhavas in them.
Yes.
So the whole thing is this description, and when the description of tasting comes, it's all to bring one to the stage of that rati, where that longing towards performing devotional service to Krishna and surrendering to him is should become most prominent in one's...
You have that aspect, but the point is Krishna, is through his internal potency, is able to manifest different features to different people, because different ones will see different things. It's just like you have a nectar devotion. There's that time when he walks into, I think, that particular situation that's there. And it mentions so many different devotees, how he's interacting with them and everything. So that's something that he is able to do. We also see Prithu Maharaj when he comes into the city, then, you know, how he interacts with all the different people and recognizing, or Krishna when he comes into Dwarka, how he interacts with everybody. So, yes, you can say he's the same person, and everybody by their rati, they see different features. And so then the pastimes, Krishna performs his pastimes to attract the minds of the living entities. But what they're attracted to, then that's going to be, you know. So.
We see also in many prayers, it's a natural progression. If we take Damodarasaka, for example, he starts with Aishwarya and Dasya.
Mm.
Then he progresses with Vatsalya.
Mm.
So those who are interested in Dasya, all that they see, it's all Dasya through the whole prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Then those who are in Vatsalya, they see Dasya and Vatsalya.
Mm-hmm.
And then right at the end, he just mentions Namo Radhikaya Tvadiya Priyaya Namo Nantalila Devayatumyam Bas. That's it, finished.
Mm-hmm.
So those who are in that kind of relationship, they relish that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's given. But it doesn't, it's not prominent. It's just mentioned there.
Yeah.
Although the whole intent of the prayer.
Yeah. Well, it can't be prominent.
No, it cannot.
No,
yeah.
Because that means, if we're talking pastimes, how can it be prominent? So those who make it too prominent, they're not actually considering the context of pastimes.
Yeah.
They're just looking at basically tattva.
Yeah.
But presenting it as if it's, you know, rolling on the ground, ecstasy, rasa. But it's tattva, because when any other rasa is around, it's hidden. I mean, cowherd boys are cowherd boys, you know, with all five rasas. Cows are cows with all five. The servants are all that. The parents are all that. But the gopis, only amongst the conjugal, and, you know, a handful of the cowherd boys would know. Otherwise, they're just girls of Vrindavan. It's just not known. You know. Even if it's an open secret, that doesn't, it's a secret. So that over-enthusiasm to overly do is not actually the way it works. Because you say something, and those who appreciate it will catch it, and those that don't, won't. You know? You know, it's just like, let's say, if you have a group of parents that are, you know, friendly, and, you know, close group of parents who are, you know, have gotten together for something, and the kids are around, so they'll talk parent stuff in such a way the kids don't know what they're talking about. You know, it'll be very subtle, it'll be very just hinted at, but everybody knows what you're talking about. But the kids don't. So that's what goes on. So this very blatant, gross, obvious, that's not conjugal, that's not feminine, it's not actually the way it works. It's enthusiastic. But whether that enthusiasm is properly placed, then that depends upon the motive in that. So as we see sahajiyas in that, it's badly placed. So that just, it's not even there. It's just bogus. But devotees still have to be careful, because it's, you know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, it's like married women, what they talk about to young girls is, you know, practical things, how they can actually, you know, progress in their life. You know, early teenage girls will giggle about stuff like that and won't be too, but the older teenagers, they get quite obvious. You know, and but they think that they're the mature ones. You know, it's like it was like a little, you know, you have those little things that have a some kind of statement on it.
Yeah.
Like that. So it was in somebody's house. And it was addressed to the teenagers, that while they know everything, they should go out and be successful in the world before they turn into adult and become a total idiot. You know, it's kind of a thing like that. So they'll always think that they know, and hey, we know. It's kind of like, it's like the married women know that and way beyond. But whatever it is, but they think that they got the corner on the market. So that's what, it's a symptom of being new at that kind of thing. You know, so the enthusiasm is directly Krishna. It's nice. But one should understand that that presentation is not actually a mature presentation. Yeah. You know, it has to be a little bit more covered. If it's so open, it has to be. Like you see, Lord Chaitanya talking very openly is only with Ramananda Rai and Subhadamadhar. Like that. He's not talking like that with anybody else. So that one has to be very careful. Though we did the other day, we discussed about the parakram. You have that aspect of the parakram, but in the parakram, you do have the aspect that everybody's there, they're tuned into what's going on, they're taking that austerity, you know, to be, you're going to the pilgrimage to, however it is, walk there, be on the bus, or whatever it is like that. And,
especially this parakram.
Hmm? Oh, yes. I'm assuming. It's so tough, you know, sitting off, eating your grilled cheese sandwich, right? You know, what was that? What's that? Maybe, you know, so you go, oh, I forgot to turn off this, you know, the video. Right? And so, there is the aspect that they are there, and so then being on that platform, everybody is in a transcendental position. And they generally take it in a very good way, because they're in the association of that. So, like what you mentioned before, you'll have that bhava bas, that by the reflection of those senior devotees who are very enthusiastic, they become very enthusiastic. But you see, as soon as the parakram's over, then it's back to business, fighting over who's got what room and this and that and all that. So at that time, you can't talk about these things. But in that, you can kind of say it works because of the nature of the parakram. But if then outside of that, you know, then one has a little gathering, like we were talking before, the Gopi Bhava thing, that then is not, doesn't do anything. So if it works at that, okay, you're getting the right mood, you're seeing the right mood is there. But if it's creating doubts or anything, then you won't. Because I've seen sometimes these senior devotees, they'll be going, and if the mood's wrong, then they just change the whole setup. You know, like that, I think something was happening, and then they just adjust, and then the next day they don't go, or they
just do kirtan.
Yeah, just do kirtan, or, you know, if they have to do that kirtan, if they can adjust it, they'll take just a smaller group. You know, or they'll send the group, they won't go. You know, so a different kind of thing. So you do see that there is some consideration of that. So I was thinking of that after the next day, I was thinking of that.
I remember in 93-94, the big Gomanda Parikrama, and everybody, including sannyasis and GBCs, had purchased Narayan Maharaj's Parikrama book.
Oh, okay.
Because no one else had one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But before reading, they'll take over it. They remove the covers. I still remember Gopal Krishna Maharaj. So here we are in this place. Where did you get that story from? It's in the book.
That's funny. Yeah, someone has to be always very careful with these things.
Also, Maharaj, once one of the sannyasis took a big yatra to Radhakund, and it was observed that the people were being a little casual.
Mm-hmm.
From then on till now, nobody could. You shouldn't. They are instructed. Nobody can take a bath in Radhakund. They have to just put water in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. What's also the problem is that the devotees went, I think it was maybe Bahulashtami or something. Then they're just jumping in and playing as if it was just any old pool. So Prabhupada got upset with that. But like if you do that, like at the ocean or that, he's even saying about going to the ocean because it's Krishna and then, you know, playing and that, he encouraged them to play and splash. Like that. But Radhakund, then it's a different thing because it's not you know, as Krishna, you may have whatever relationship you have. But when you deal with Radharani, it has that formality. That's the...
Why is it that devotees bathe more in Radhakund? Radhakund is always empty. There's hardly anybody there. Why is that?
Yeah, I guess they only really... Well, you do have the aspect that Radhakund is in Radhakund. You know, I mean, that place or that little, you know, that there is, it does connect it, because he made Shyamakund to take his bath, so he's purified. And then the gopis were not convinced, so that they made their own. You know, they wanted to make sure he didn't make some cheat, you know, maybe use Bisleri water or something like that. And then afterwards, then they asked if all, because then all the pilgrimage places and everything came. So they asked if that could come. No, I think Shyamakunda asked if he could come into Radhakunda. Mm-hmm. It was that, the Kunda was asking, because it's even more wonderful. So you do, by bathing Radhakunda, you do get the benefit of both. Like that. But Lord Chaitanya, you see, when he sat on Shyamakunda's side.
Yes, because he has his place there.
It was crowded on the Radha Kunda. Already by that time. Yeah, sure. Everybody comes with a pumpkin. He said all the time.
Yeah. Yes.
Also, Maharaj, we see here the mention first the Sthayi Bhava, then it moves on to describing the Vishaya Ashraya, and then what what is now mentioned is mostly on the Vyabhicharis that are shown by the gopis and no other. But generally, when the devotees talk, for them, the Vyabhicharis are kind of like either Sthayi Bhava or the Ashraya, and they make like more prominent rather than
the Ashraya, the main point. Yeah, what's holding it in place?
Yes.
It's just, it's moving, but what's stable? It's just a matter of, as one goes, these things mature. But it's just being pointed out that just because you deal with it or know it, that's not a symptom of advancement. You know, because as it is, you can go and ask, you know, any Baba in Vrindavan, you know, you just walk along the road and just stop and say, oh, what are Radha Krishna doing at this time of day? You know, they'll look at their watch and they'll go, they're doing this. You know, so I mean, that I mean, they well read. So it's not a matter of having it; it's a matter of relishing it. You know, as we discussed that other day about Radhakund preaching. Yeah, you know, that Prabhupada said no, it's for relishing.
Also, another thing that when that knowledge is proper, then the rasavas aspects will be curtailed.
Yes. Yes.
Then what should not be done at least is known rather than going in the wrong way enthusiastically.
Yes. So it's just that's why you have to follow the footsteps of the acharyas, because it's very delicate. Means in general, like you see, very much it's there. We mentioned about the rasas there. That whole section of the means shanta there is there with everybody. So they're cool, right? You know, but Dasya, how do you say, Shakya and Vatsalya, they're one group of rasas, you know, because they're expanding from the Samvit potency. So they have their three flavors of that, and you can see people can be a mix of those. They generally won't be a conjugal and a mix of those, or shantan, and it'll be within them. They talk about, they may be, you know, have that parental, but there'll be friendship, or parental with servitorship, or a servitorship with some friendship, or like that. Is that, you know, because they go together. And that's why then the other day it was mentioned about the Vallabhas. Then they don't so much distinguish. It's like whatever's going on, they'll bring out that one. But within those three, generally, they don't get so much about the conjugal. That's more the Nimbarkas, I think.
Yeah.
From what I understand.
Vallabhas don't deal with conjugal
at all. But those three rasas, they do, because it's even in, I think that in Srinathji, the head pujari dresses Krishna, but his wife dresses Radharani. Because of the parental, then you don't deal with the daughter. You know, so they have, you know, things like that. So they're not, how it moves within that. You know, they recognize that he the gopis and all that, but it's not their mood. You know, so.
I don't even think Radharani is there. It's just a place.
Yeah. No, but
not Dwara.
Yeah, not Dwara. No, because the devotee in Vrindavan means it was, you know, local devotee. That his, I think his father's side is Nimbarka, and his mother's side was Vallabha. And so he knew both. And he was telling me that there, they don't, maybe it's with the festival, maybe they have a deity that comes out, maybe it's a festival deity, not the main darshan, but maybe there's small deities. Mm-hmm. But in any case, he was saying that the men don't dress Radharani, you know, because, you know, in Paris, you don't deal with the son's daughter, you know, like that. So it's some kind of, you know, just like the elder brother. Means the younger brother can walk in when the elder brother's with his wife, but the elder brother can't walk in when the younger brother's with his wife. Mm-hmm. That kind of flavor is there. So you have that aspect within those three. It kind of is a bit fluid. You know, means you were saying about them, because you notice in the, sometimes the prayers and all that, it moves around quite a bit. It's not, you know, it doesn't have that progressive line and stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
They have a flexible style.
Flexible style.
Which will suit many devotees, actually, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Because all those questions are about that.
Yeah.
So whether you want to be fixed or you want to be flexible.
But they have to understand it's flexible within that group, within the... Means it's either under Ladini, under Sambit, or under Sandini.
Yeah.
Like that. It's not mixed like that.
Yeah.
Chaitanya 76 to 86. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. The combined cooling effort of camphor, roots of kasha and sandalwood is surpassed by the coolness of Krishna's palms and the soles of his feet, which are cooler and more pleasing than millions upon millions of moons. If women are touched by them even once, their minds are enticed, and the burning poison of lustly desire for Krishna is immediately vanquished. End quote. Lamenting in ecstatic love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then recited the following verse, which is spoken by Srimati Radharani while exposing the lamentation of her heart to her friend, Srimati Vishakha. My dear friend, Krishna's chest is as broad and attractive as a door made of Indranila gems, and his two arms, as strong as bolts, can relieve the mental anguish of young girls distressed by lusty desires for him. His body is cooler than the moon, sandalwood, the lotus flower, and camphor. In this way, Madan Mohan, the attractive Cupid, is increasing the desire of my breasts. Footnote 13. This verse is also found in Govinda Lila 8.7. I think this is also as quoted in, is it Nectar Devotion? Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu?
I'm not sure.
Is this the only place you've heard it? I always remember about that broad, about the door of the Indranila gems. Okay, maybe not.
Govinda Lilamrita was written way before Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Okay.
But whether you know, historically it was written before Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, I can't say.
Oh, okay.
But the time maybe doesn't match.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, I just now had Krishna, but unfortunately I have lost him again. By nature, Krishna is very restless. He does not stay in one place. He meets with someone, enchants his mind, and then disappears. Quote, the gopis became proud of their great fortune. To subdue their sense of superiority and show them special favor, Keshava, the subduer of even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, disappeared from the rasa dance. Footnote 14. This verse quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.29.48 was spoken by Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikit. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said to Sudamita Goswami, please sing a song that will bring consciousness to my heart. Thus, for the pleasure of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sudamita began very sweetly singing the following verse from Gita Govinda. Here in the arena of the rasa dance, I remember Krishna, who was always fond of joking and performing pastimes. Footnote 15. This verse, Gita Govinda 2.3, is sung by Srimati Radharani. When Sri Damodar Goswami sang this special song, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately got up and began to dance in ecstatic love. At that time, all eight kinds of spiritual transformations became manifest in Lord Chaitanya's body. The 33 symptoms of Vyabhichari Bhava, beginning with lamentation and jubilation, became prominent as well. Udriti, Nectar Devotion, Chapter 31. Srila Rupa Goswami says that although he has no expert knowledge about the sounds and meanings and mellows of the symptoms of ecstatic love, he is trying to give some examples of different varieties of love of Krishna. He further states that the 33 disturbing symptoms of ecstatic love, plus 8 other symptoms, all taken together, equal 41 primary symptoms of ecstatic love. These symptoms create transformations of bodily activities as well as movements of the senses. All of them can be accepted as different feelings of the heart. Sometimes some of the feelings are quite natural. Sometimes some of the feelings are just temporary appearances. These symptoms, which are very natural, always remain, both within and without the devotee. Because the centuries, that, you know, will always move, but the sty will remain. And so there's always be that. Because that's the, what was it, what did it say? 41. So the one is the sty. Udriti, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adi Kanda, 1629 commentary. The phrase Krishna Bhakti, Krishna Bhakti Vikar, who's the commentary by? Do we know? Okay. The phrase Krishna Bhakti Vikar indicates the following 8 transformations of ecstatic love: Stambha, being stunned, Sveda, perspiring, Romancha, hair standing on end, Swara Veda, choking, Vipatu, or Kampa, trembling, Vaivarnya, fading of color, Ashru, sweeping, and Pralaya, or Murcha, devastation. Udriti, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 14.167, purport. The 33 Vyabhichari Bhavas, bodily symptoms manifest in ecstatic love, are as follows. 1. Nirveda, indifference. 2. Vishada, moroseness. 3. Dainya, meekness. 4. Glani, a feeling that one is in a faulty position. 5. Shrama, fatigue. 6. Mada, madness. 7. Garbha, pride. 8. Shankha, doubt. 9. Trasa, shock. 10. Avega, intense emotion. 11. Unmada, craziness. 12. Apasmara, forgetfulness. Vyadhi, disease. 14. Moha, bewilderment. 15. Mriti, death. 16. Alasya, laziness. 17. Jarya, invalidity. 18. Vrida, shame. 19. Abahita, concealment. 20. Smriti, remembrance. 21. Vitarka, argument. 22. Chinta, contemplation. 23. Mati, attention. 24. Driti, forbearance. 25. Harsha, jubilation. 26. Autsukya, eagerness. 27. Augriya, violence. 28. Amarsha, anger. 29. Asuya, jealousy. 30. Chapalya, impudence. 31. Nidra, sleep. 32. Supti, deep sleep. And 33. Prabodha, awakening. It's interesting, the, what do you call it? Like in the, what you see in the, much of the time, like the, you know, Indian, when they do their, you know, dramas and stuff like that, they put a lot of emphasis on these, you know, great intensity on them. And, you know, they'll bring those out, while much of the time in the Western, you know, media, they don't do that as much. They'll stick to the more of the main, the style Bhav, you know. You know, a little bit is there, but the Indian, it'd be, you know, like that. You always do the thing, and then, like that. But what struck me is when he did the, what is it? Trasha, shock. You know, there's always that one where the mother finds out, and it's always that. The camera moves in, and the music, like that. So, yeah, so they really, really make it melodramatic, yeah. Udriti. 4.2.19 purport. When various ecstasies appear in the body of a devotee, it is to be understood that his devotional service has become perfect. There are many types of transcendental ecstasies in the forms of crying, laughing, perspiring, falling down, and crying like a madman. All these symptoms are sometimes visible on the body of a devotee. They are called astasattvika vikara. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila, 1499. Which means 8 kinds of transcendental transformations. They are never to be imitated, but when a devotee actually becomes perfect, these symptoms are visible on his body.
The symptoms are only visible in the body of the Mahabharata.
Yeah, because it says perfect, so perfect generally means that position. So is that on the liberated platform, then you're not dealing so with the anartas. And so then these kind of things are there. Like Rupa Goswami mentions that the aspect of spontaneous devotional service then can manifest after anarta nivriti. But if you see how he's describing it, he's meaning anarta nivriti, meaning having given up the material. You're not functioning on the material platform, you're on the platform of bhava. So bhava would be what is called perfect or perfection. Prema is beyond that. Because perfection is the middle state. So the jiva in its natural state, that's where it's from, because Satchitananda, so it'll have that. But that has to be cultivated towards Krishna. Then it becomes prema. Does that make sense? Because sometimes they'll say Mahabhagavat, we try, that has to go to the ends of the... No, it starts at that point. It means it's above the Uttamanakar, but it has that place. So bhava, you could say, is the beginning of that Uttama platform. So bhava up to samadhi, that would be the first stage. Then having come to that point, the Purva Rag, where then one has Surup Siddhi, so you can take part in the pastimes, that would be the middle. And then when you come to Vastu Siddhi, so then it brings you to prema, that would be the upper. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, and then those can be divided, you know, I'm just saying, but still... So it just means that one point there. So it says, you know, about the guru, one should approach a Mahabhagavat, they're talking about that platform. You know? Because we'll take a Mahabhagavat, Nitya Siddha, Purity, or we'll mix them all together and say something. But they're depending on how they're used, they're describing different positions.
Sometime back you mentioned, in your class of downstairs, that from Shraddha to Prema is even at the level of Shraddha, it's just not manifested, but it's there. So when devotees, even in the neophyte stage or mature stage of Krishna consciousness, they manifest some symptom or maybe semblance of symptom,
mm-hmm.
crying, shivering,
mm-hmm.
being stunned,
mm-hmm.
are these real symptoms?
Yes, but they're mild. They're very mild. You wouldn't call it that because it's so small. You know, it's just like, let us say, I bring out one of those very nice, you know, very good quality plate, and I put in the middle one grain of rice, and, you know, the slightest cutting of a, let's say some kind of, you know, leaf or something, and then I have the spoon and I just touch it to the side and make a circle around it like that, and then I present that to you. Right? It's all the ingredients of what would be served at the meal, but would you call that a meal?
Yes.
So that's why it's only called that Shraddha or whatever position it's at. And you have the aspect where by associating with those who are more advanced, then in that moment, then you may also then experience something. And so then that'll be that Rakya Vas, that is reflected off of the others. But it's in the true, we're not talking about the Mayavadis or the Sahajyas who are just making a show like that. This means it sincerely comes up. But it's that prema or priti would be probably the better word in the form of bhava, that's what's extended. Because above that you can't deal with in this body, so there's no question of that. So it's that bud of that it's the power of attraction and everything that's in the Shraddha, you know, up to bhava. Right? But you see it in its in its natural form in ruchi and asakti, but small. below that, it's just portions that come here and there, because you see in Ruchi and Asakti, there's a consistency, though it's not that intense.
Yes.
Compared to anything before that, it's very, you know, very full. Mm. But compared to, you know, prema, it says, you know, or bhava, it's not that full. Mm. So it's bhava that extends down. So the process of shraddha to prema, then the first eight are all powered by bhava, and then that bhava matures into prema. Is that yes?
Yeah.
So that's why they means when they have a taste, it's an actual taste, but it's just that moment, and then they're next, you know, arguing over, you know, who gets the last slice of pizza or something. You know.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah. I mean, some people by nature are emotional, so it doesn't take much.
That's another thing. But that's why then Rupa Goswami explains about the, I think it's the cotton, the fluffy cotton in the breeze.
Yeah.
Or a pebble in a pond, or a puddle even, you know, and then the mountain and the ocean. Like that. So you see, the acharyas, then they always practice the mountain and the mountain and the ocean. So you don't know what's going on. It's like the, you know, there's that picture of Prabhupada. Oh, in this picture of Prabhupada, you look very, you know, like you're not happy. It says, oh, so that was a of great ecstasy and all that. He was thinking about something. Yeah, so it's all these things are there, and it's wonderful, and so then therefore to discuss about them and all, but it has to be, it's discussed that like it said, what is it there? Who said this? The mood is Rupa Goswami says, although he has no expert knowledge about the sounds and meanings and mellows of the symptoms of ecstatic love, he's trying to give some examples of different varieties of love. Right, so he's quoting from the Shastras and from whatever others have said. Like you see many times that in the pastime, there's something said, you know, something very exceptional. What was spoken, that becomes a verse in one of the Acharya's books. You know, a few of them are in Nectar Devotion or in something else. So, you know. So he's pointing out, and he's the Rasa Acharya, right? That, you know, I don't have much knowledge about that. So if we present ourselves that we know and whatever, it's not looking good. You know, so that's the one has to be very, very careful about that. So by learning these things as pride, if it doesn't work for the gopis who are the most fortunate girls in the cosmos, not in the material world, the cosmos. And Krishna leaves, you know, that was mentioned here. He says that. The gopis became proud of their great fortune to subdue their sense of superiority and show them special favor. Keshav, the subduer of even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, disappeared from the Rasadha. So he'll disappear on them. Why wouldn't he disappear on us? We become proud. You know, so that's why this whole thing, oh no, even this pride, and no, it's not like that. And we have to be very careful, because it's not necessarily what you're dealing with. Well, I mean, you do have to think what you're dealing with. You have to be careful. But the attitude in which you deal, that's even more important. So, yeah, one has to be very, very aware of that. So, Rupa Goswami, who is our acharya, we're following him, he's saying that, so why wouldn't we wouldn't want try to have that same kind of mood? We don't know, but we have heard from authorities. You know, so. Yes, but you're going to get, but it's like, so compared to the material, then because it's real, it's so much greater. Right? It means on the material platform, so many things happen and so many crazy stuff. And so there's so much emotional experience that's there. But one such experience in connection with Krishna consciousness, even though it's, you know, you could say by volume or, you know, the external volume or intensity is much less, it's still greater. Just like, you know, if I have the whole, you know, from here to the horizon and nothing on every, you know, of darkness, the volume is so great, but one lamp and you can see. So that's the thing, is that drop of coming in contact with Krishna consciousness is so much greater than an ocean of material, impression. So it's going to, that's why the living entity gets attracted, because it's so much more, it's real, it's in line with their nature. So they very much appreciate it. So there is taste, but it's not the volume of it. It's not. So if we take it, okay, I've had this, is that not taste? Is that not bhava? You can say, yes, that moment may be, to some degree, it's a drop. But the point is if that's not called bhava at that stage that you're at, imagine what bhava is.
Can't imagine.
Yeah, so that's the whole point. So then things get in line. So then you can look at it, it's real, because otherwise in this thing, oh yes, I'm having transcendental ecstasy, so that puts me at this stage. No. What are the symptoms? As it mentioned there. Is it gaining faith? Is it association? Is it taking up the devotional process? Is it purification of one's position and all that? Or is it being steady in devotional service? Or having a taste attack like this? So where that is, so then it's there. So if that's just a drop, it's there for a moment. When was the last time you had that kind of experience? Of course, you think about it now, it stands out amongst all impressions. But you can think back, yes, at this kirtan at this time, there was there, and then at that kirtan there, and this darshan here. You can put them together. And those few moments are such strong impression, that if you think about it, it's greater than anything else. But that's a moment there. That was, 20 years ago there was that, and then 15 years ago was this, and 10 years ago was that, and then 5 years ago this one. But those things are still what makes you, drives you forward, because they're so much greater than the material. Because you could say, but the material is constantly. No, it's not. So one thing works out once for you, nice. And most of the time you don't even notice at the time. It's afterwards you catch, wow, that was working. And then you try for that the rest of your life. So bhava means those moments, that's what's always going on.
Constantly.
Yeah, constantly. So therefore taste means, it's coming in and out. It's more regular. But occasional, it's more occasional, like that. Well, then you're going to have attachment. It'll have a constancy, but it will be not so intense. And bhava means that his continent is full. But then even that, you see, it has to go up through the stages, because remembering, then meditation, then samadhi. So it has to be. Because samadhi means it's exclusive. Because samadhi means it's just, focus. So it's exclusivity. So you see sometimes when they're explaining it that you have dhyana and dharana. Generally we say you have the mechanical aspect of dharanas first, then dhyana. Because unless you can focus, how do you meditate? So they say it's like when you pour honey out of a jar. It comes out really wide. It looks like the whole thing will fall out at once. But as soon as it comes out, it goes into this super fine, especially if you hold it up, super fine. So that's the whole point. Your mind is like this, and then you focus it on one place. And when it's on one place, then you put Vishnu there. Right? Then you start meditation. But we see also when Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about it, he puts dharana after dhyana. Means that you're meditating, but it hasn't become focus specifically. It means you may be meditating on the Lord, but it hasn't been that you're really meditating on the Lord. So when that comes, then you can get the samadhi. So in other words, you have the mechanics of how you take up the process, but then you have the refining of it where it actually has the intensity. Does that make sense? So those aspects will come up. So one can be inspired that this is real, but one shouldn't take it, I'm a great devotee because I had that, or, he had that, so therefore, one should avoid that kind of jazz. So that's why you see is that both these flavors are there, that you have Baladev encouraging and Vishwanath going, no, that's not, so that you don't, in other words, encouraging so that you become inspired, but if you become proud, then Vishwanath takes care of that. You know, so that's why then people will say, oh, but it's two different approaches, they're contrary. No, they're not. They're exactly the same thing. Like, you deal with the child in that and encourage, and as long as that's positive and working, you do, but as soon as they become proud and stop doing, then you use the other method to bring them in line, and then you start encouraging. So both are there. It's just that since one has done one, the other does the other, right? So it's not a problem. Does that make sense? How you say the standard method to bring out the best of you. You know, you have, what do you call it? Thunderbolt Vaishnav and Rose Vaishnav, right? You know, isn't that how you... Huh?
Sweet.
Chutney. Oh, chutney. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So then those two. Is that...
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So it is, but it says, it's just that little, so if that little fraction of a drop is so much ecstasy, imagine what is the platform of bhava. And then bhava, that's just the beginning, it's the bud. You know, so the bud, you don't fully get the full, what it looks like, and the texture, and the fragrance, and the beauty, and all that. So prema, then that's there, and then... Then you get the prema, that's the second stage, and then there's another six stages. So that's why sometimes I think prema means the whole thing. Prema, you can say the whole thing is prema, but also prema is a specific stage, the second stage. So if you want to be, if you're going to use those terms, then the acharyas generally use the term priti. Because priti means all those eight. And so then you can, but when we say love of God, it means these eight features of love of God. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Maharaj, from bhava, when we say prema, that is referring to the priti, because of, even rati is actually prema.
Yeah.
But when it becomes like more, what you call, there is...
Condensed?
Not kindness, man. There is a feeling of Lord belongs to me. What is that called?
Mamata.
Yeah.
Mamata.
English word is.
Okay, so there is some value to our chief
You're
minister.
Mine. You are mine.
Yeah.
Possessiveness.
Yeah, possessiveness.
Oh, okay. He's looking for the English. Is that the same? What are you being used for? Is that the same?
Because Mama, the word Prabhupada uses is that.
Possessive, of course. No, I'm just joking. It's funny.
So then that's when this, what we pray, what we are describing, becomes. Otherwise, Rati itself, when we generally refer to as prema, it's referring to that Rati.
Mm.
The first of the eight stages, then.
Yes.
It goes to different
ways. Yeah, because without rati, you can't, however you progress, because unless there's something, that's why they say, God, can we change? But then if you do, you start at the beginning again. So as long as they want to start over. No, but they want to just change wherever they are and all that. You know, it's just like you're driving down the road and you think, yeah, I've got, you know, a nice car, I'm doing great. And as you're doing there and passing all the other cars and you're proud and all that, then you get into a little bit open and you're like that. Then some guy goes by you as if you were stopped. And it's kind of like, you know, I want that, you know. So now you're suddenly going to be in that car. What happens to that guy? Is he in this car, or does he get his own car, or it splits, and then you're both driving the same car, or, you know. So these are, you know, immature kind of desire, you know, or contemplations, where they're thinking, you know, like we say,
it's just a projection.
It's just a projection that I want this, I want that, I want, you know.
But also, they don't call it change, they say upgrade.
Upgrade.
Because what? Change means, like you say, you start right from the beginning, but upgrade means I'm already here, I want to, like, you know, I have iPhone 12, and upgrade means 13, that's it.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't start from Nokia, I don't know.
who's the buttons?
Yeah. Yeah, so we don't mean any offense to anybody from Finland, right?
Also, I don't remember who from the charges, either Rupa Goswami Bhakti Notakur, he gets into mathematics and he says one particle of prema is called bhava, and then that divided by 100, that is what we get, because it's, you know, it's descending.
Okay.
This is what we get as shraddha, and then it
means, 100 parts of one part of unlimited ocean. Okay.
That's in Vajana Raj.
Is it?
Yeah.
So that's Bhakti Nota.
Okay, that's nice. Yeah, so it's real. But the thing is in bhava, they'll be constant. You know, so if we're contacting 100th part, then you can see how intense it is, you know, how attractive it is. But at the same time, it'll be for a certain time, for a certain experience, and it may continue after that, may not. Then at another time, that's why we see, you have Kirtan Mela, that devotees like to go, because those are moments when these kind of feelings may arise. You know, so there's going to be something there.
I think it was 3 years ago, Kirtan Mela, and it was packed, like it's not really packed, but the kirtans were really, really intense. And that day, Panchatattva was wearing, you know, Maha Mantra outfit.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, the photographer got close to Panchatattva, started shooting pictures, and then they shot pictures of Gadadhara with the tears. But it was condensation. Mm-hmm. It was condensation, you know, the heat of the room.
Yeah, the difference on the temperature. And
because so many devotees there. Yeah.
And the condensation on the brass, on the Astadatta. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could see, you know, mm-hmm. literally the tears. Mm-hmm. And they put it on the Facebook, so, wow, Gadadhara was crying.
So yeah, at least he got something out of the kirtan.
Because of the mouth.
Yeah. Everybody.
Huh?
On all the deities, yeah, the parts were not covered.
Yeah.
Got this. But the skeptics, you know, the skeptics said it's condensation. but the Bhavukas and Rasikas,
they said it's an actual because otherwise how are we going to
Sattvika Vikaras,
you know, because you can say as well, we see them because they're brass, and so the same way, you know, is that what you're meaning, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
In 2014 it's in 2014, not 3 years ago.
2014, that far back?
Yes. That means you're not attending.
That's one way to look at it. The other way is he's so much in ecstasy that he sees no difference between one and
you
the
guys
other.
Don't just one.
It's just, yeah, it's just one moment.
There's
no
space.
We have time and space, just like that.
Yeah.
No space.
Yeah.
And then we'll keep it.
Yeah, so there's things there, it's fine, it's nice, and so then the point is it brings out the emotions in the devotees and that, and they get inspired, and so it's very nice. Yeah, it's very nice. Yeah, but if one gets into it, it has to be mystical, and then you're looking at everything, and it all has to be that, then you've missed the point. Point is, it's not about a show, is that they have to respond like that. It's just a matter of, they're always in ecstasy. It's just a matter of that the kirtan is going so nicely, the mood's so nice, that they will reveal, you know, the position there. They're always in, because the apricot is always, you know, it's always going on. It's a, you know, huge kirtans and all that. And we look out and see whatever we see, you know, but everything's going on. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur sitting in his house, he sees the temple, he sees thousands of devotees and the kirtans that are playing dinas, and you know, the whole thing, it's all going on.
So, who is drinking
the milk?
And then they bought all the milk. There was not enough milk because they started offering.
Yeah, yeah. That was a rahasa one. So.
Yeah.
You get that. Or, you know, sometimes the Vedicars, another popular one is Mother Mary. There's always some, maybe one or two here and there.
Mother Mary?
Icons?
Yeah.
Doing what? In Russia they have...
icons, but also sometimes the yeah, the motifs that are there, you know, the Catholic.
The tears of blood, right?
Yeah, you know, stuff.
Different
like
things.
Yeah, so I mean, there it inspires and people are there, you know, and like you said, the skeptics don't want to prove that. They can approve, okay, the skeptic, what are you into? You know, and then is it real happiness? You know, you're stuck in this room. There's not enough life, there's not enough air, there's a million people inside like that, and everyone's trying to, you know, make it somehow, and nobody's making it, and all that, and you paid tons of money and stood in line to get in there. How much enjoyment is that? You know, is that real? Is that, you know, you could go after anything like that. So they just delight themselves, and if it's going to inspire religiousness, they're always going to be skeptical, but for materialism, they're not going to analyze that, you know. Yes.
I think this is the main difference between the process of bhakti or sadhana bhakti and other, you know, yoga, karma and jnana, is that they give you some experience maybe at the end when the fruit is there, not before. But with bhakti, while practicing, we already experience what's the goal in a small portion.
Yes.
But it is real. It is bhakti. It is vastu. It is a substance. It's not just, you know, imagination.
Yes. That's a very good point. Yeah, because that's why Prabhupada makes that point about the, you know, talking from Krishna. I think in Gita where he says that they fall in. Yogi or the, you know, the spiritualist, he takes up philanthropic work and things like that, because they get to a level and there's no taste, so then they, you know, do something to get some taste. But then he makes the point is they criticize the material world as faulty, you know, it's illusion. So then why are they coming back to the illusion and absorbing themselves? And, you know, because before they would have said these, there's no need, it's all illusion. But now, why are they coming back and doing that? Yeah, so that's the thing. It's not real, so why are you involved? So, taste has to be there. So, that's the problem in those systems of karma, jnana, and yoga. Where's going to be the taste? You know, a sustainable taste is not there. Because otherwise, that's one of the services of Lord Shiva, is that when the taste goes for those in Brahmananda, then he puts them back in the material world. Because, you know, they're all hanging out there, he's doing his kirtan with his devotees, and when someone kind of starts to waver, then, you know, he puts them back in the material world.
Also, Maharaj, you see the pastime of Narada Muni's previous life, that he first sees Krishna, then Krishna says, not anymore, not only once, then now you have to purify to
come to him, yeah. But that taste is there, though. Mm. Yeah, then to, yeah. Yeah, because it's, Krishna means, like he's mentioned, the living entities are conditioned here. And so for Krishna, it's about, he means he's, the living entity is interested in something other than Krishna. And Krishna arranges a place for them to go on in that, you know, idea. And then he comes with them personally to try to bring them back to, you know, himself, to the spiritual platform. So that's, these are all signs of his affection. You know, because it points out there's more taste in the living entity making the endeavor, because Krishna being the independent Lord, he could bring, you know, everyone to that platform, but there's more taste in that one has made the endeavor and attained. You know, he gives the example that the father, you know, has this whole empire. He could give all that at any point to the son, but there's more taste in making the son qualified and then giving him. Because you know that he appreciates, he'll do, he'll act properly. Well, the other ones you can give, but then what will they do with it? You know, it's like that, what do you call it? That fisherman. You know, he was fishing with his net, and he caught Lord Chaitanya in the net, and he's kind of pulling, what is this? And when he touched Lord Chaitanya, then he started, you know, running down the beach and all that in ecstasy. But at the same time, he's freaked out. What is this? What's going on? You know, why is this happening to me? So that's the whole point. So if you endeavor for it, you value it. Because otherwise, some say, why did Krishna make us like this? And, you know, no one's saying that when materially things are going for well for them. You know, say, why is all this, you know, good fortune being thrust upon me, and, you know, so much recognition and facilities, and why is this happening to me? You know, that's not, they only say that when it doesn't work out. So that's what it says, never to be imitated. But when a devotee actually becomes perfect, these symptoms are visible on the body. So perfect means you're absorbed in Krishna. So let's say like that, during the kirtan, during darshan, during some kind of intense devotional activity, then they're actually on the transcendental platform. Then they experience some transcendental symptoms. That's natural. But the point is after that, are they maintaining that position? Not necessarily, because it's a gradual process, step by step. So that taste is there, now you know what you're dealing with, and so then you can be inspired to move forward. Mm-hmm. 3:15. So that way you have to understand perfect, because we always take it as the perfect, meaning the permanent solution. But actually the position of perfect, you know, we're taking it as a goal, but in the spiritual world, perfect is the situation. You know, does that make sense? Like that, yeah. So that will—that's why we sometimes overemphasize. You know, like that. But at the same time, like, it's not to be imitated. So you can't. You do that. That's the high fear. That's artificial. It should be natural.
Also, Maharaj, the description in Preeti Sandar, where it starts with first explaining liberation. Mm. And the actual situation of a devotee is samipya. Mm. After all the five liberations, then the four Vaishnavas, then samipya is where actually it starts.
That so means as an associate of the Lord.
Lord. Mm. So that's the situation from where the description of the whole Sandharva starts.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just the situation.
Yeah, well, if you look at it, then even in the... You're talking about that one is appreciated. It means until you understand I am servant of Krishna, then, you know, and situate yourself in a position that you can always be absorbed in serving Krishna. You know, and there, and you have the same kind of, you bring yourself to that same kind of spiritual position, then that won't work. Just like in puja, the first thing is yoga, is connecting yourself so that you're on the same transcendental position like the Lord. And in that, it'll be that bhuta shuddhi and these things where you're going to identify like that. So in one sense, you can be saying it's establishing those other levels of liberation. Mm-hmm. Then only then you can associate with the Lord and render service. Right. But that's just the beginning, because you see here, these gopis were with the Krishna, and so they are an associate, but it's still not enough, because he's still the mood and everything, so Krishna left, and then you see their absorption in Krishna, then all what was impure became removed, and then, right? Because then after that they're going, and because they thought they were very special, then they go along, and then they're absorbs an ecstasy of Krishna, so then they make it, it becomes exclusive, and then you see, then they see Radharani's position, and then they understand, you know, she's more fortunate, like that. But there might be that aspect of jealousy, so therefore then, when they all find them together, then Krishna leaves and leaves Radharani, then, you know, they've been feeling this separation, but when they see her separation, they understand that, you know, she's way more fortunate than them. We have a bell ding downstairs.
Or maybe somebody wants to come or something.
I don't know. You have to see who is dinging bell.
Also, Maharaj, all the demigods or other people at the Lord, they describe about any pastime related to the Lord, they always describe that situation of their situation connection to any of those four liberations. But only when we see them in these pastimes, where we see actually it's not the situation describing the taste.
Yeah, it's about the taste. So it's just a further level. So that's why it's that we've learned the situation and know all the different names and the different, colors and different times and that. And this is all very nice as long as you can use it in meditation on the Lord, you absorb yourself in meditation on the Lord, then that's very nice. But to think that that's the advanced position, then not actually. If we're talking about the advanced position that's being described, no, that's just where it begins,
Yeah, it's actually described in Krishna Sandarbha that we came across what is like Krishna's lotus feet has and his form, then it describes the dham, the associates. The whole situation is just established there. Then the exchange
and then the taste.
Yeah, we're dealing with the same topic recently with our student Lagu Bhagavatamrita, because it's quite detailed. And then the situation of whenever there's a chance, then it comes up, and devotees are immediately very interested. Oh, where is it? Is it this? Or is it Prakat? Or is it Aprakat? Or is it Vaikuntha? Or is it Bhomulila? Or what? So I'm trying to explain to them that just concentrate on what happens in there. It's not about the place. It's what happens in that situation. But even more subtle, because we see different devotees, they observe the same pastimes, but according to their style, they experience differ. So it's the mood. It's the mood that is the first. Then the action, and then the situation where the action happens.
It expands out that way. Each a kriya then, jnana.
Yeah.
But for us, because we're in the material world, we start jnana, kriya, and then like that.
We're always interested in that. And then we think that everything else automatically will develop. But actually, it's not. It helps automatically, but from this side going down. So it's a tricky concept. I mean, it's not a mundane concept which we have to install in our mind and then work with it.
Because when you separate Krishna from the equation, then it's going to be the situation that means a certain situation, a certain activity can be performed that produces Krishna's pleasure, that therefore produces our happiness. So if you take Krishna out of it, we just want to be happy by that, then it's always going to be situational. Because situation means I could do the activity if I want. And therefore, if I want, I will get that experience. But the problem is we don't put... Because if I put emphasis on the situational, I don't have to address that I apply it, I still don't become happy. Does that make sense? Like I think it was said, some wealthy person was pointing out that having the fancy car, they don't necessarily get any more pleasure out of it, but they gain great pleasure out of everybody else thinking that they're so fortunate and happy. They get more from that. It's like you have, you always have the what is that called? Valet? Yeah. The valet parking?
Oh, valet parking.
That is the proper way to say that?
Valet,
okay. Finally got one word right. So, it always happens right in the front where everyone can see. You drive up in that car, you get out of the car, the guy takes the car and drives it off. It could be in the back and they could have an entrance from there, which would be more, it's like if you don't want to be seen, you go in the back, you come in there, it has its own elevators, this, that, you don't get seen.
You block yourself.
Huh? Yeah, it's like this. But it's that thing about everybody can see this is your car, and this and that, and so many things like that. Because it's not parked there. It's not that they just move it over here. It goes somewhere else and parks. So there's that idea of being seen, you know. Or it's like if you had the Academy Awards and there were no pictures and everything, you just mentioned at the end who won what, you know, what would be the, why would anyone dress up? You know, they dress up because they'll be seen, you know, and then everybody will, whoa. So that's the idea, is that the situational, we take it that the options are there, so we're inspired. Oh, you could do this, you could do that, you know, it's like unlimited options. But we don't necessarily talk about the endeavor. And those that, that you know, make the point of unless you endeavor, you get nothing, they're always, you know, are you saying? Like, what do you call it? You know, it's like throwing water on the fire or something. Everyone's enthusiastic. Oh, you're just, you know, you're not encouraging, you're not this and that. Because if you do things, you get results, you know. You know, so it's like the meetings. You have these meetings, you talk about this and that and moves and what can be done. But no one actually does anything. The person who points it out, you're doing nothing, everyone gets upset. You know, come on, we work here, we're so many things, we're working together, we're, you know, we're inspired like that. Why are you saying this? Does that make sense? So it's a sad... It only comes up because of our conditioning. Because when you remove Krishna from, you know, the equation, then what is the relationship? You know, it's what... You know, and what is the Abhideya? What is the Prayojana? So then it's just a matter of who has more stuff. Because otherwise, how much... You know, it's like I have... $100, I have 1,000 or 10,000 or 100,000, 1,000,000, 100,000,000, billion, okay, keep going. Does that, I can't eat any more prasad. You know, it's like volume, and to what quality you can get. Okay, you have a little more money, you spend a little bit more, and then that's it. It's not like I have a $1 billion piece of lasagna or something. You know, it's, no, it's you know. Does that make sense? You know, any Italian's mom can make it. You know, most likely it will be better than what I have. You know? So the situation becomes the whole focus of the living entity. So that's why they think, and they get into it. So if I have that, then I'm on that platform. No. Even if you are on that platform, that's just where you start from. Now get to work.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. There is a meme that everybody is suffering in the material world, but I would rather cry in a big bungalow rather than in the poor hut.
Oh, okay.
I would prefer crying in a big bungalow.
Okay, yeah. Why not? Yes.
Yeah, I heard a comment from one devotee who organizes big festivals,
mm-hmm.
and in the beginning of the festival, he addressed all the devotees, and you know, festival, like say for example in India, you have to travel, you have to come, you have to, you know, book in, you know, get into, you know, all the details, and then he mentions that this is preliminary, but the festival is happening tomorrow, so you should put all of your energy into the festival, because from his experience, just to get to festival, the 90% of people's energy is gone. They just exist on the, during the festival. They can't function because it's so tough to get to the, mm-hmm. to the festival. Yeah. So he said, no, that was preliminary. Just don't relax right now. You should actually try for bhakti, try for something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very good point. And just that you got there, okay, yeah.
Yeah, because many people think it's for real. You know, because material world is so tough.
Mm-hmm.
So just getting there, you can relax. But he encouraged everybody. He said, no, it's not for that. We want you to be active.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 315.87 to 99. All the ecstatic symptoms, such as bhavodaya, awakening of all the ecstatic symptoms, bhava santi, meeting of ecstatic symptoms, and bhava shabalya, mixing of ecstatic symptoms, awaken the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. A great fight arose between one emotion and another, and each of them became prominent. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had Subhadamadar sing the same verse again and again. Each time he sang it, the Lord tasted it anew, and thus he danced again and again. After that's the one thing is here, the same verse again and again. He's tasting it. It's like, but once we've heard one of these rustic stories, now we want another one. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to tell a new one. But no, it's that the same thing, the same line. Because when he's saying the same verse, is that that one verse that's the opening of that would be the either that or it's the druva of one of the Gita Govinda songs.
Yeah.
So he's just singing that over and over again. You know, because the druva is the what do you call that? Chorus. You know, not chorus. Refrain, I think that's what it's called. Refrain means the verse that you sing in your, like we sing Jayarana Madhava, and you can go anywhere else and go back to that and go forward and that. That's the, the refrain. So he's singing that over and over again, because that'll be like the core, what's the main point of the song, and then the others will be all the various ways that it comes out in that. So just on that refrain, he's singing again and again. And it's a tasting it anew each time. So that's the whole point. So just that you know the things, know it to be able to taste them in the proper association.
It's also very interesting how now it is revealed that the main verses are all from Bhagavatam. And then Vidyapti and Gita Govinda and some Krishna Karanamrita are there. But the main is still, it's all from Bhagavatam. Also quoted from Mahaprabhu's associates and by himself.
Yes, because these others are just, how you say, poetics in which they're bringing out the features that are there, what are going on there. That's the so it, like you said, it's all centered on Bhagavatam. But when you leave Bhagavatam and think that those are the main, then how will you understand what's going on? Because it's already been expressed. It's just a matter of, like we said before, is that the adults are expressing things, the kids don't know what they're talking about. So when we say, oh, it doesn't say here, but here it says. Yeah, but that's adults talking with each other. But over here, they've already, it's already been said. This is just details. After the Lord had been dancing for a long time, Swoop Damodar stopped singing the verse. Over and over again, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Go on, sing, sing." But Swoop Damodar, seeing the Lord's fatigue, did not resume singing. When the devotees heard Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say, "Go on singing," they all gathered around him and began to chant the holy name of Hari in unison. At that time, Ramananda Rai made the Lord sit down and dissipate his fatigue by fanning him. Then all the devotees took Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the beach and bathed him. Finally, they brought him back home. After they fed him lunch, they made him lie down. Then all the devotees, headed by Ramananda Rai, returned to their respective homes. Thus I have described Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in the garden, which he entered, mistaking it for Vrindavan. There he exhibited transcendental madness and ecstatic ravings, which Sri Rupa Goswami has described very nicely in his Stavamala as follows. Quote, "Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the topmost of all devotees. Sometimes, while walking on the beach, he would see a beautiful garden nearby and mistake it for the forest of Vrindavan. Thus, he would be completely overwhelmed by ecstatic love for Krishna, begin to chant the holy name and dance. His tongue worked incessantly as he chanted, 'Krishna, Krishna, will he again become visible before the path of my eyes?'" Footnote 16. This quotation is verse 6 from the first Chaitanyastaka in Srila Rupa Goswami's Stavamala. The pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are unlimited. It is not possible to write of them properly. I can give only an indication of them as I try to introduce them. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Then we have chapter 16. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tastes nectar from the lips of Lord Sri Krishna. Pratigya. Prasadam becomes uncommonly flavorful and delicious by touching Krishna's lips. Adhyaya Prakashita. The 16th chapter is summarized by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Prabaha Bhasya. When the Bengali devotees of the Lord returned to Jagannath Puri, a gentleman named Kali Das, who was an uncle of Raghunath Das, went with them to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kalidasa had tasted the remnants of food of all the Vaishnavas in Bengal, even Jaru Thakur. Because of this, he received the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri. When Kavi Karnapur was only 7 years old, he was initiated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. He later became the greatest poet among the Vaishnavacharyas. Footnote 17. Kavi Karnapur, the son of Shivananda Sen, is also known as Paramananda Sen or Puri Das. Okay, before, yeah, it was Puri Das.
But also mentioned as a Chaitanya Das when he was small. So okay. He has so many names.
Yeah, it's funny how kids get so many names.
Yeah.
When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate the remnants of food known as Vallabha Bhoga, he described the glories of such remnants of the Lord's food and then fed all the devotees of prasadam. Thus they all tasted Amrita, Adara Amrita, the nectar from the lips of Lord Sri Krishna. Shloka Sharanam. Summary of verses 1-64, the eagerness of Kalidasa. 65-77, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestows mercy upon young Kavi Karnapur. 78-87, a gatekeeper escorts Lord Chaitanya to his beloved Vrajendra Nandana. 88-151, the nectar of Krishna's lips. How are we doing here? We have 1 minute. Yes.
Has Advaitacharya already sent his letter? Have we gone letter. Through this?
A letter.
The letter to Lord Chaitanya saying there's no more customer for rice in the market.
I don't think so.
Not yet?
No. This is chapter 15 or 16?
16.
No, we didn't. I missed it.
I thought if we already read about Lord Chaitanya's ecstatic symptoms, it means he got the green light from Advaitacharya. You know, go for it. There's no need of the rice in the market.
Yeah, no, I don't. Are you sure it's Chaitanya Charitamrita, not Chaitanya Bhagavata? Or Chaitanya Charitamrita?
Yeah, it should be there, but I don't think we read it. It's coming up.
Okay, more to come.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Jai.